It's January 31st, 2013. The head of content at Netflix, Ted Sarandos, walks into the office of David Fincher, an acclaimed filmmaker. They smile and Sarandos slides into a chair. From their demeanor, you wouldn't guess both men's reputations are riding on an enormously expensive experiment that launches at midnight.
How's it going, David? You ready?
Yeah, I think we've really got something big here. For the first time, viewers will get the entire season of a new show, from the first episode to the very last, all at once. Fincher's adaptation of a British political thriller represents Netflix's first big investment in original programming. Launching all the episodes at one time, that's a bold move that Sarandos believes Netflix must make if it wants to dominate internet television. There's no choice, really, as he sees it. If Netflix is going to compete with HBO, it has to stream its own original quality content. Fincher's adaptation is compelling. Obsessively so, in fact. And Netflix's data shows overlapping audiences for the show's top stars and for Fincher himself, a two-time Oscar winner. 3 years earlier, when Hollywood found out Fincher wanted to make a TV series, well, studio heads started getting in line. After all, Fincher was the name behind some real winners like The Social Network, Seven, and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. In fact, Fincher was so much in demand that he set up a Saturday pitch marathon on Sony's lot to hear all offers. Sarandos skipped the scrum and instead scheduled a meeting at Fincher's office. First, he shared his data. And then he cut to the chase. Sarandos knew what he was doing, speaking to the heart of a creative. David, I know there are a million reasons not to make House of Cards with Netflix, but I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why it makes sense for you. First, here's a guarantee. 2 seasons with no pilot. And second, I'm going to leave you completely alone so you can make the series you want. What do you say? When Netflix gets the deal, studio execs tell Sarandos he's crazy to spend so much and then release them all at once. Drag it out, Ted. Make them come back every week. You could use it to launch new shows. But Sarandos remembers, that was Blockbuster's strategy, and look what happened to them. It's 1 minute after midnight, and House of Cards goes live. All 13 episodes. This show will either vault Netflix into a universe of new and dedicated viewers, or be one of the most infamous faceplants in Hollywood history.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
From Wondery, this is Business Wars. I'm David Brown.
When we left our story in the last episode, Reed Hastings of Netflix was taking an aw-shucks approach, humbly playing down any threat Netflix might pose to the studios. That is, until he had gotten himself a safe lead in the battle for best content. Now, Netflix is moving in on HBO's turf. But it's a bit of a two-way street, really. See, content-wise, at least, Netflix is trying to be more like HBO. But HBO realizes it has to get streaming down like Netflix. Which means each one has a different strategy, but in a sense, the objective is the same. Beat the other side at their own game. In 2011, HBO sees glimmers of television's future, and it's in the cloud, where Netflix is the leader in streaming video. 3 years before Netflix streams House of Cards, Time Warner CEO Jeff Bukas sets out to create his killer app, specifically designed to eat into Netflix's streaming supremacy. The app is called HBO Go, and it lets viewers watch their favorite HBO shows like The Sopranos, Sex and the City, and 6 Feet Under on their laptops and mobile devices. You know, just like Netflix, but with quality content. Well, at least that was Bukas' pitch for HBO Go. But he hasn't been entirely forthcoming, because, you see, to use HBO Go, you need more than just that app. You need to subscribe to regular HBO through your cable provider. That means your free HBO ends up costing, what, more than $100 since you're paying a cable bill with a premium channel? Free HBO? Right. Reviewers call HBO Go deceptive. Plus, for that kind of cash, viewers don't expect it to be glitchy or have poor video quality. Viewers are ticked, and they're talking about it in very public places, like on YouTube.
Well, it's making the mistakes perhaps Blockbuster made. It's clinging onto a delivery system that is becoming obsolete. This is kind of an opposite field of dreams situation. If you don't build it, they will leave.
So in total frustration, viewers go renegade. Some turn to BitTorrent, that notorious file-sharing protocol where they're stealing pirated HBO shows. Or they share HBO Go passwords to watch shows on the app without having to pay for cable.
Yellow.
Hey, Dad. Hi. How's it going? Can I get the HBO Go password again?
You know I shouldn't keep giving you the password like this. I mean, it's basically stealing, right?
Oh, come on, Dad.
All right, let me put you on hold and I'll look it up.
If HBO doesn't get it, millennials are happy to spell it out for them. They're leaving in droves. They're getting in Bukas' face, telling him straight up that they're stealing his content.
Pay TV has its worst performance on record in 2010, losing 100,000 subscribers in its second quarter.
And how does Bukas react? Well, believe it or not, Bukas isn't even convinced that the so-called cord cutters actually exist. He's certain that cord cutters and cord nevers, millennials who never signed up for cable in the first place, are just going through a phase.
Cord cutting is more of a notion than a reality. Once these millennials take the mattress off the floor and move into their own homes with television sets, that's when they'll subscribe to HBO.
I mean, look, at the time you could have argued Bukas was right. Millennials made up less than 5% of HBO subscribers in 2010. And even now, only about 16 million U.S. adults have canceled cable, though that number is increasing quickly. Bukas calculates that HBO is making $3 billion a year from the cable companies that carry HBO. Now, why risk that for non-customers who already admit they're going to pirate content anyway? Nevertheless, HBO is stuck at about 28 million domestic subscribers. And it has another problem, too. Verifiable hits. They've been few and far between since The Sopranos went off the air and Sex and the City and 6 Feet Under ended their runs, to say nothing of some rather expensive flops. Meanwhile, Netflix has been on a tear. Hastings and Sarandos are happy to let Bukas balk at cord-cutting. Netflix has the best streaming app on the planet. And the shows they're offering, they're newer, and they're getting better all the time. Shows that are addictive. Programs like Breaking Bad and Mad Men get amazing buzz on their home network, AMC, but they're just not pulling in the numbers until Netflix picks up their older seasons. Then suddenly, kapow, they're more than critics' favorites. They're bona fide hits. Actually, it's a nice symbiotic relationship. Netflix streams the old episodes of these shows and generates a huge audience of viewers who want to binge on entire seasons. Then, when the original network airs the new episodes, well, the viewers head back to regular TV to watch them, and the ratings soar. They call this the Netflix effect.
Ad revenues at AMC soar 40% thanks to the Netflix effect.
And wouldn't you know it, the networks line up to cut deals with Netflix. Even Bukas shakes hands with the devil. He offers up the plastic surgery drama Nip Tuck and a handful of cult TV shows like Veronica Mars, Pushing Daisies, and Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles. Still, Bukas is not entirely comfortable with this arrangement. When Netflix's Sarandos makes the annual trek to Time Warner in New York scouting for reruns, he tries to put Bukas's mind at ease and maybe open the door to a deal for HBO shows. This is a great deal for you. These are great shows, and we can find them an audience. We'd be happy to do the same for your HBO shows. Bukas shuts Sarandos down. Netflix is the last stop for shows I can't sell anywhere else, Ted. I see Netflix as a utility service. Kind of like trash pickup. Bukas may be closely guarding his top-shelf stuff, but Sarandos is finding other companies happy to share theirs to get the benefit of the Netflix effect. And Sarandos gets something he really, really wants in return. The exclusive rights to all seasons of any TV series he licenses. And the reason is binge-watching. What these companies don't know is that Netflix's focus groups show that people feel good while binging. They form an emotional attachment to Netflix. It's almost a Pavlovian response. Netflix knows viewers respond to its sound logo with a sense of pleasant anticipation. If you've ever binged yourself, perhaps you've noticed that when you finish one episode, the next one automatically pops up. And I'm guessing, just maybe, you've hung in there for that next episode, right? Well, that's by design. Netflix uses this couch potato effect to condition you to do just that. Sarandos is amused by how much Netflix and binging have seeped into the American vernacular. Sarandos likes to joke about stream cheating. That's when you jump ahead without your friend or partner to watch the next episode. We seem to be leading a cultural phenomenon of stream cheating. With that said, Netflix can't be held responsible for any trust issues, lover's spats, or marital troubles that arise from watching ahead of your partner. So watch responsibly. Sarandos is riding high on media accolades and subscriber love. He should be on top of the world. But all he can think about is how to avoid the slow-motion crash he sees coming. When the studios realize that internet television is inevitable, unstoppable, they'll quit selling him their best shows and movies and set up competitors. He sees a wave of it coming around the corner. And he hates to admit it, but Sarandos knows that Bukas is right. Viewers need a reason to come to Netflix. And if it doesn't create its own content, and soon, it'll become a virtual landfill for old TV shows and movies. Publicly, Netflix head honcho Reed Hastings says his company isn't interested in making any major bets on original content. But Sarandos knows that for the long haul, Netflix not only has to create its own original content, but those programs have got to rock the audience.
We get support from Airbnb. Staying in an Airbnb is often one of my favorite parts of a trip, especially on business travel. Instead of slogging to another hotel and waiting in line after you've been driving or flying all day, there is nothing better than landing in a place that, well, really feels like a home away from home. Maybe you've stayed in an Airbnb before and thought to yourself, you know, this actually seems pretty doable. Maybe my place could be an Airbnb. Well, I'm here to tell you it could be. You could be sitting on an Airbnb and not even know it. It might be as simple as starting with your spare room, or maybe even your whole place when you're away. Say you and your family are headed away for a much-deserved spring break. Well, why not Airbnb your place and make some extra money towards the trip? Win-win. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind.
The story of House of Cards starts in 2010, when Sarandos has an accidental meeting with Destiny. He's wrapping up a meeting with a television executive. Sarandos is about to walk out the door when the executive he's visiting mentions a show that's still on the drawing board. Maybe Netflix would like the rights to its reruns? It's called House of Cards. David Fincher's directing. Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright are already attached to star. As Sarandos leafs through the package of scripts, his gut tells him this could be big. Really big. Fincher is set to pitch the show to rival production studios that Saturday at the Sony lot. HBO, AMC, all the biggest guns are set to bid. Now, Netflix has never done anything like this, and Sarandos knows he needs an edge to be taken seriously. So he asks the studio rep to do him a favor. I want this show. I really want this show, but I don't want to go to that Saturday pitch meeting. I want to meet David separately, so we can tell him why he should sell it to Netflix. To be on the safe side, Sarandos runs the elements through Netflix's database. And his instinct is right. There is an audience, a big audience, waiting for a show just like the one Fincher wants to make. When Sarandos sits down with Fincher at his office on Hollywood Boulevard, he places all his chips on House of Cards. His $100 million... a substantial chunk of his content budget, just to buy Netflix an exclusive license to distribute this one title. Not even own it, just distribute it. David, let me be clear. Yes, we want the show, and here's why you should make it at Netflix. Sarandos nails down House of Cards. Now, it's time to tell the boss what he's done. Yep, that's right. Sarandos made the deal without even checking with boss man Reed Hastings. Sarandos spots Hastings on the floor of Netflix's headquarters. Sarandos' face says he's excited and worried, too. Hey, Reed, we gotta talk. Sure, Ted, what's on your mind? Look, we just made a very big bet on House of Cards. Well, how big, Ted? $100 million big. Sarandos waits for it to sink in. Waits for Hastings to react. Hastings raises his eyebrows and waits for an explanation. He knows Sarandos wouldn't do something like this if he wasn't sure it would work. And Sarandos is right most of the time, still. $100 million? That's a freaking big gamble. Look, if we're wrong, we dramatically overpaid for one show. But if we're right, well, this could change the whole trajectory of the company. Long silence. And yes, Hastings is on board. We've got to become HBO before HBO becomes us. Things have been a mixed bag for a few years at HBO. That killer app, HBO Go, doesn't go, really. It's not moving any needles, at least. And HBO's had only one big hit lately, True Blood, which is not typical for the network that considers itself the gold standard for content. Then HBO's head of programming, Michael Lombardo, greenlights two series. One is called Simply Girls, about angst-ridden, sexually adventurous millennials living in New York. Then HBO takes a risk that might be even bigger than Netflix's House of Cards. Its new show is a fantasy series called Game of Thrones. Each of the first season's 10 episodes cost $6 to $10 million to produce. Lombardo has some angst-filled moments when he screens the $5 million pilot for the first time. In fact, he orders it to be reshot. When it finally debuts on April 17, 2011, some critics call it tantalizing, breathtaking. Despite the high body count, fantasy fans can't get enough of it. And soon, the show becomes the first global TV blockbuster. Lombardo has a second smash on his hands with the comedy drama Girls. Writer-actor Lena Dunham dives into the world of the self-absorbed New York writer and her 20-something friends. It's better, smarter, and more honest than sitcoms on broadcast television.
I think that I may be the voice of my generation, or at least a voice of a generation.
The show doesn't deliver killer ratings, but it brings in something even more important for HBO right now: the eyeballs of a younger generation of viewers. HBO's new chief, Richard Plepler, had asked Lombardo for a couple of hits and a few mid-range successes, and Lombardo delivers. Boardwalk Empire, Flight of the Conchords, The Newsroom, and Veep put HBO back on top as the place to go for edgy, lush, adult television. And boy, do millennials and everybody else watch HBO's new shows. Just not the way Bukas had hoped. Cable subscriptions are still flat as 2013 dawns. But millions of viewers flock to file-sharing sites to illegally download Game of Thrones episodes. That gives it a dubious distinction, the world's most pirated television series. This is all happening while viewers are begging Bukas to let them pay for his content. Only not through cable. In 2012, a guy named Jake Caputo puts up a website asking people to tweet how much they'd pay for a standalone HBO streaming service. Twitter blows up with a couple hundred thousand tweets in the first 48 hours after Caputo launches TakeMyMoneyHBO.com. And still, Bukas does nothing. As the debut of House of Cards nears, the entertainment industry is buzzing with predictions of disaster. Sarandos is a fool to release all the episodes at once. People will run out of shows to watch and cancel their service if they can watch all they want. The shows won't resonate if viewers can watch them all at once, the critics say. And what did Netflix know about making television anyway? But on that day in 2013, when viewers finally get access to all the episodes of House of Cards at once, well, they like what they see. The show is a huge critical success and an audience sensation. Netflix won't tell anyone how many people are actually watching the new show, but word of mouth puts it at about 29 million viewers. Clearly, people are binging the episodes of Netflix's own show, just like they've been binging other shows on the service. And everyone keeps talking about House of Cards all year long. Reviewers hail it as the equal to HBO and Showtime's programs. Netflix garners 14 Emmy Award nominations, 9 for House of Cards alone, and wins 3 its first year. HBO's haul of 108 nominations dwarfs that, but still, being included with the established studios is validation enough for Netflix. House of Cards stars Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright are sought after on the red carpet as the first actors nominated for an internet series. Spacey plays a scheming politician who pursues the height of power at any and all costs. Viewers love and despise this character, and he's a big reason they binge-watch. Here's what Spacey says.
I think what it really shows is that the audience is changing, that the audience is digging being in control. If they want to binge, they're going to binge. If they want to watch 2 episodes and wait, they can do that too. So I think these new platforms, this new way of discovering work, is the way the future is going.
Despite all the fanfare around House of Cards, HBO is still the content king. It'll take billions of dollars for Netflix to catch HBO. But like the cunning Frank Underwood character, Netflix is ambitious and ready to pounce on any
serious HBO miscalculation.
Every kitten grows up to be a cat. They seem so harmless at first, small, quiet, lapping up their saucer of milk. But once their claws get long enough, they draw blood, sometimes from the hand that feeds them. For those of us climbing to the top of the food chain, there can be no mercy. There is but one rule: hunt or be hunted.
On the final episode of Netflix vs. HBO, who will hunt and who will be hunted? We'll follow these giants as they compete not only with each other, but with Amazon and Fox, Disney and Hulu, Apple and Comcast, in their own version of Game of Thrones.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Business Wars. I'm your host, David Brown. Gina Keating, the author of Netflix, wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Sound design by Jeff Schmidt. Our executive producers are Ben Adair, Marsha Louie, and Hernan Lopez. For Wondery.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.